Now, continuing tonight, the series that we're doing on the fundamentals of the faith, and we're going to look tonight at the doctrine of justification, justification by faith. And we're going to take our reading from the Epistle to the Galatians. I suppose Romans and Galatians are both the great epistles of justification, but we'll turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, and we'll read from verse 11. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 11. Again, continuing to worship God in the hearing of his word. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I, Paul, withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Amen. And may God add his blessing to that reading from his word. So let us begin with a question. Suppose we were asked to write a list of doctrines, a list of beliefs that are essential to a clear understanding of the gospel, and we have only 60 seconds. What would spring to mind? What would we put in our list as the seconds tick away? Now, if this question had been put to evangelical Christians in a previous generation, they would have had no hesitation whatsoever about putting in that list the doctrine of justification by faith, or to give it its proper name, justification by God's grace, alone through faith, alone in Jesus Christ, alone. John Calvin called this doctrine the main hinge on which religion turns. But today I sometimes wonder, would evangelical Christians be so quick to put justification by faith in that list? Many beliefs, ideas, experiences are being recommended in the evangelical world by this Christian writer and that, by this Christian leader and that, but how often do we hear justification by faith being recommended? Let us look at what the Bible says then about this great doctrine. Now, first of all, we ask this simple but very necessary question. What is justification? What does it mean, that word, justification? Well, in the Bible, justification is the opposite of condemnation. To justify is the opposite of to condemn. Now, we see that, for example, in Romans chapter 8. Verses 33 and 34. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, in this passage, the scene is a courtroom. Paul invites us to think of a trial, a judge, an accused person in the dock. Charges are about to be brought against the prisoner. He's going to be accused of having broken the law. But, says Paul, who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? How can the elect, the chosen people of God, be condemned if God justifies them? So, there we have justification as being the opposite of condemnation. To condemn means to pronounce a guilty verdict. To justify, then, means to do the opposite. It means to acquit the person in the dock, to pronounce a not guilty verdict, to discharge the defendant from the court, a free man, without any accusations at all hanging over his head. It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? If God justifies me, God himself, the almighty, the all-powerful God, the supreme judge of the whole universe, if he acquits me, if he pronounces me not guilty, if he discharges me from his court a free man, then what power is there in the universe that can possibly condemn me? To justify, then, means to declare that a person is in the right in relation to God's holy law. God's law has no quarrel with that person. All charges, all accusations, they are all dismissed. In the Bible, this is what is meant by declaring that someone is righteous. God justifies me, declares me righteous. He declares that his law has no argument with me, that I'm in a right relationship with him as far as his law and its requirements are concerned. Justified, pronounced righteous, all accusations dismissed. So that's the meaning of the term, justification. And that takes us along to the second point, which is this, that according to the scriptures, no one can be justified by observing the law. No one can be justified by observing the law. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. How can I be justified in the sight of God, my judge? Well, says Paul, first thing I need to be clear about is this. No one will be justified by the works of the law. No flesh, that is, no man, will ever be declared righteous on the basis of the law. Now, Paul feels so strongly about this that he says it all over again in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now, Paul's quoting there from the Old Testament. He's quoting from the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 27 of that book. So if we turn to that chapter, Deuteronomy 27, we find that from verse 15 onwards, there's a whole series of curses on those who disobey the law of God. So verse 15, a curse on anyone who makes an idol, a statue or a wooden figure that is supposed to be a god or to represent a god. Verse 16, a curse on anyone who would dishonor his parents. Verse 17, a curse on anyone who moves his neighbor's boundary stone, that is, steals his neighbor's property by crafty and deceitful methods. Verse 18, a curse on anyone who leads a blind man astray. Verse 19, a curse on anyone who does not give justice to the foreigner living in Israel, and to the fatherless and the widow, that is, the weak and vulnerable members of society, a curse on anyone who does not give justice to these. And so on and so forth. This is the law of God, and these are the works of the law that God requires. I must obey these commands. And if I do not, then according to Deuteronomy, I come under the curse. That is, the condemnation of God, the holy and righteous judge. By the way, we notice that when Scripture does speak about the works of the law, it doesn't mean only the ceremonies of the Old Testament, circumcision and sacrifice and so on. It also means the moral works of the law. Those works that are set out so plainly there in Deuteronomy 27. No dishonouring my parents, no theft, no injustice to the vulnerable, and so on. It's against these moral laws that the curse of God is threatened in Deuteronomy 27 to any man, whether Jew or Gentile. What Paul does in Galatians 3, he quotes the last of these curses against disobedience. So he's quoting Deuteronomy 27 and verse 26. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. That's what Paul's quoting in Galatians 3:10. It is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So keeping that in mind, back to Galatians 2:16. No flesh will be justified by the works of the law. God will pronounce no one righteous on the basis of obedience to his moral law. Why not? Well, the reason is very, very simple. As far as Paul is concerned, and as far as the whole of Scripture is concerned, it's very simply because everyone has broken it. Everyone's broken it. All I have to do is break one of God's commands. Doesn't matter which one. All I have to do is break one of those commands of God, and the curse immediately swings into operation. I'm condemned. That's how God's law operates. I break the law, I am condemned. You see, the law requires obedience to all its commands, not just some of them. The law doesn't say, well, obey some of the commands and you can ignore the rest. Listen to James in his epistle, James 2 and verses 10 and 11. Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. The law requires obedience to all its commands. If I break one of them, I am condemned. It's no wonder then that Paul says to us in Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law of God will not justify me. What it will do, in fact, all it can ever do, is make me conscious of my sin, make me aware that I'm a transgressor. No one can be justified by keeping the law. To be justified by the works of the law would require me to keep that law perfectly. And this I have not done. This I have by no manner of means done. Therefore, by the law comes not justification, but rather the knowledge of sin. And that brings us to our third heading, which is this: sinners can be justified before God only by faith in Jesus Christ. Sinners can be justified before God only by faith in Christ. Allow me, if you will, to quote Galatians 2:16 once again. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Paul has ruled out the possibility of being justified, being pronounced not guilty, being declared righteous by God on the basis of keeping the law. That is not possible. But, says Paul, thanks be to the merciful God, there is a way in which lawbreakers can be justified in God's sight through faith in Jesus Christ. Justified by faith. Now, let's assume that I know I am a sinner in the sight of God. Let's assume I know that. How then can I ever hope to stand in his presence as the righteous judge and be acquitted, be pronounced righteous before him, justified? How can I ever hope for that? Well, this is how, says Paul, through faith in Jesus Christ. Biblically speaking, faith is believing and trusting. What must I believe in, then, and who must I trust in? Jesus Christ. Let's just listen for a moment to how Paul puts this elsewhere. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Romans 3:28. To the man who does not work, but believeth on him who justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Romans 4:5. Christ is the end of the law, that there may be righteousness for everyone who believeth. Romans 10, verse 4. Not having a righteousness of my own that is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Jesus Christ, the righteousness that is of God by faith. Philippians 3, verse 9. Surely the testimony of Scripture is very clear. A guilty transgressor of God's holy law, such as I, can be acquitted, all charges against me dismissed, and I be pronounced righteous and free in the sight of God only through faith in Jesus Christ. And that leads us, of course, to ask why. Why is it, and how is it, that faith in Christ clothes me with righteousness before God when the works of the law can never do such a thing? Paul answers that question in Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That curse of the law, the condemnation, the guilty verdict that I have deserved, Christ has taken upon himself. He becomes a curse for me, says Paul. The curse of condemnation falls on him instead of me, him in my place. Christ fulfills the righteousness of the law on my behalf. God's righteous law demands that I be pronounced guilty and punished because I am a sinner. But in the incomprehensible greatness, the magnitude of his love and his mercy, God the Father appoints his own eternal Son to be my representative before him, to step into my place, to take upon himself my destiny, and to fulfill the righteousness of the law on my behalf by suffering its righteous curse in my place, the Son of God for a son of man, indeed God himself for a sinful man. And this is what we find sounding forth so triumphantly in our hymns. O God of all grace, thy goodness we praise, thy Son thou hast given to die in our place. He came from above our curse to remove. He hath loved us because he would love. Love moved him to die. And on this we rely. He hath loved us. We cannot tell why, but this I can tell. He hath loved me so well as to lay down his life to redeem me from hell. Or again, 'tis finished. The Messiah dies, cut off for sins, but not his own. Accomplished is the sacrifice. The great redeeming work is done. 'Tis finished. All the debt is paid. Justice divine is satisfied. The grand and full atonement made. God for a guilty world hath died. And the result of all this, the outcome, if I believe and trust in Jesus Christ, if I stop relying on anything I can do to make myself righteous before God and rely instead on what Christ has done, then God credits to my account what his Son did and suffered on the cross. As Paul puts it in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. Jesus Christ is the representative and the substitute of all who believe and trust in him and depend on him for salvation. He and they become one. And therefore, if I come to Christ for forgiveness and justification and life, God henceforth looks upon me as if I had died on the cross, as if I had paid the penalty for all my own transgressions against God's holy law. And therefore, I am justified. God, the righteous judge of all, dismisses every charge against me because Christ has died for me. The Son of God has taken my place in the dock. Jesus Christ, the innocent one, has taken my guilty verdict upon himself. And therefore, I, the believer, the one who looks to Christ for life, I am justified for Christ's sake. I'm declared righteous on his account because of what he has done for me when I could do nothing at all for myself. Listen to Paul again, and this time it's Romans chapter 5 and verse 6 following. For when we were yet without strength, when we were powerless, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved his life, his risen life. In what do I believe then? And on whom am I relying for my acceptance with God? On what basis am I resting my hopes for a favourable verdict from the righteous judge? Am I trusting in my own moral performance, my own virtues, my own sincerity? Well, according to the Bible, that way can lead me only to condemnation and judgment, because God's holy law demands total obedience, perfect obedience. And that perfection is as far from my grasp as a star at the other end of the universe. Or am I trusting in Christ, God the eternal Son, become flesh, and in what he has done for guilty sinners by his death on the cross? Do I believe what the Holy Scriptures testify about him? Do I trust in him, person to person, as my righteousness? So believing, so trusting, God accepts me as a righteous man, justified in his sight through faith alone, in Christ alone, righteous in Christ, when I am unrighteous in myself. Justification by faith, one of the fundamentals of the faith, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. May God bless this, his word, to me and to each one of us, for our eternal good. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.